Yo, welcome to the Joycast. It's your favorite podcast. I'm your host, I'm Amaterasu, aka Kunle, and we are back again after our long hiatus. This is the Joycast. I'm joined by my co-hosts, God of Iron.
Yo.
And Babs. I was gonna say a whole government name, man. I'm sorry, Babs. Right.
Yeah. I'm here.
All right, so we are back after some time, and we're just here because we want to give you that good you know banter about the gaming news that's coming up right now. And a lot has happened since we last did the podcast. We're not going to cover all that, but we're going to talk about what's happening right now. All right, this is fall 2022, and all the goodies are like out right now. There's so many things happening. I'm sure there's so many fan groups that are happy, and I mean, when there's this much hype, there's also a lot of room for disappointment. So, but I'm hoping that we're all going to land, you know, well at the end of the day. A couple of things have been announced over the last, you know, couple of weeks. So many things coming out. You know, there's so many things happening, actually. Like, we even have there's even a PlayStation, at this point in time, there's actually a PlayStation Pro controller by PlayStation. That's been announced. Like, a lot of things are happening, and we finally have different colored faceplates, and we have our first custom game edition from a PlayStation, the God of War controller, coming out. There's so many things happening. Like, it's actually quite it sounds like a very good time for gamers, let me put it that way, right? Lots of choice, lots of things to spend your money on, right? To make these companies richer. So let's each talk about what our favorite things to come out over the past, let's say, 3 weeks have been. So I'm going to hit it off with you, Babs. What'd you tell us? What have you been most excited about in gaming these last few weeks?
Okay, for me, I would say, let me just list them first, then I can talk about them. So Street Fighter VI, the beta dropping, Final Fantasy 16, what else? Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Callisto Protocol, God of War Ragnarok, Evil West, Persona 5 Royal finally coming to like almost everything, so more people have access to it now.
That's cool.
And what else? I think that's about it for now anyways. But like I'm planning to get at least two more games this year, so God of War and Evil West. Evil West, they showed a bit of like gameplay. Not a lot of people have seen it, but it's kind of like a mix of like Remnant from the Ashes and God of War, and it's co-op adventure. So I'm really excited about that. God of War, just because it's God of War, and we're all trying to avoid spoilers at the moment. Street Fighter VI is looking like really, really, really good now. Like, there's so much care, attention, all that stuff to it compared to Street Fighter V, appealing to like the casual audiences, and the gameplay just looks much, much better than what we experienced before, and everybody has their full moveset. So for now, I'm just waiting for like the open beta, and it feels like it's coming out next year. For Final Fantasy 16, they showed us the icons, the battle, the music. Yeah. They're showing us they have everything on deck and ready to go at any point. Like, they just want to like take all our money next year, because Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is also coming out next year too. And we have like these two big games coming out next year for Square Enix, which is really good because they kind of like bombed this year with Babylon's Fall and a couple of other games. Yeah, so that's been really good. What else? Let me see. There's been other news as well. Persona 5 Royal, I'm really not sure why. Because I bought the Persona 5 Royal when it came out on the PS4. So I don't really get why I have to pay £50 to get the PS5 version at 60 FPS unlocked when I bought your game at like launch. So I am really not happy with that. I'm happy that
you have to buy a whole new version for Persona 5 Royal for PS5.
Yes, you need to. So that doesn't really make sense to me because I bought this game at launch because I want you guys to make Persona 6. But it's like every new version they release, they're like, give us your money at full price.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so look, I really don't subscribe to that. You know, I really don't. This is like, that's why I didn't buy Persona 5 Royale. See, you encouraged them. You see? You thought you were supporting them for Persona 6, but instead they're like, see, when we do PS5 version, they must buy it as well. That's what you guys encouraged, can you see?
I thought, at least they pay upgrade or something, but they're like, pay full price, which absolutely doesn't make any sense to me. And to be honest, the game doesn't really need like a 60 FPS kind of like mode and all that stuff. And there's the whole news with the whole Bayonetta like voice actress that happened that kind of like brought a lot of light to like people in the video game industry and all that stuff. So while I don't know what is going on right now, but when she released her videos, the four videos, she said that they wanted to pay her like 4K flats for like everything. But now everybody's like, no, they wanted to pay her 15 to 20K. And after saying people should boycott the game, she's now like, please don't disturb me. I want to live my life. I'm not going to talk about this anymore. And as much as... people will never side with the corporations or companies, but I just feel like saying people should boycott a game that so many other people worked on, I think is a bit unfair. And I don't know. The whole situation was messy and it's still messy and we don't know where it's going, but like it's giving the game free publicity at this point and more people have even bought the game. So beyond that, I would say that's kind of like everything I'm looking for.
All right, that's really cool. You talked about, you covered a lot. I heard about the Bayonetta controversy and then people saying that she was actually being paid 4,000 per session, not 4,000 flat. And then the company saying that she was completely lying and she's saying that they were lying and, you know, just a whole mess. And when it gets into this, it just gets ugly and you don't know who to believe necessarily, right? Or, I mean, it's very hard to believe a company, to be honest, but sometimes, they're not necessarily completely wrong. So, it is what it is. Yeah, I'm not buying Bayonetta anyway because I haven't even played Bayonetta 2. So, like, how can I get Bayonetta 3? What I thought is, whilst Bayonetta, the character, is very a classic character, I know, like, the cultures around the voice actors can be quite popular. Like, the voice of Snake and the voice of... before it changed to Kiefer Sutherland, it was this guy, David Hayter. And people basically saw him as being synonymous with Snake through the Metal Gear series. And he used to make all these, you know, appearances at, like, Comic-Con and, like, Hyper Japan and those kind of things. So, you know, it was, like, a big deal when they changed him to Kiefer Sutherland. And there wasn't really a reason behind it, you know, there's like the history of video games and then it's like, oh, versus the producer's vision, which just didn't include this person anymore. So I know sometimes it's like a culture around the people, but I never knew there was really a culture around the Bayonetta actress. I didn't know people. I mean, her voice does seem quite iconic in and of itself. Like it's very distinctive, but I never knew that there was a following around it.
I feel like Bayonetta is like, I think by the time Bayonetta eventually became something of a cult classic, I imagine. I don't know if cult classic is the right way to say it. But like her character was actually so distinctive and so much like larger than life that, to be honest, she actually, I think she rightfully deserves her status as an icon. Bayonetta does. Mm-hmm. And her voice actress, regardless of what you think of that person as a person, the voice actress is a big part of that. Absolutely. Like, intonations, inflections, like, the whole character, like, half the character of Bayonetta is in the voice itself. And it counts for a lot, to be honest. It really does. So, I don't know. I just, I was really like on her side and everything, and then these other the new information came to light. I was like, oh, maybe we were a bit hasty. What's going on, man?
She wanted six figures. Six figures plus royalties.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
And you see, the thing is that for a character as iconic as Bayonetta, that's actually not even a bad thing. But the issue is that she shouldn't have made a lie of omission, because I believe that's what it was. What it appears to be so far, it's like she didn't tell the whole truth, and that's really not a good look. Really.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Platinum Games had two games that sucked. That Scalebound got canceled.
So it looks like we can't pay anybody. Shut up. We're poor. You can't get anything. We need all the money.
Except in this economy, please, Safari, you can't do it. You cannot.
I hear that. Actually, no, you make some very good points. The live mission, and you know, maybe she did deserve something like royalty, you know, for her character. You know, but I feel like when you do that, you also have to build a relationship with the studio, not just the audience. Do you get what I'm saying? And I feel like she probably did not build it strong enough, you know, that they felt like she was part of the creative process. Do you know what I'm saying? Right. And if I don't, I feel like if they can't feel like you're part of the creative process, they can't give you royalties. But I feel like, oh no, I bring this to the character being nice. So not just the voice, but like I'm like, oh no, I think we should do it this way. I'm very invested in the success of this thing. I really like you guys. This game is like, you know, saying, you know, networking and you know building that relationship with the thing. So
yeah,
like, you know,
I don't think she did that, because if you look at the voice actor Kratos and Atreus, it seems like a very different vibe. Like they have this connection with the team, and I think when she talked, I noticed she didn't have this connection with the dev team at all. It just like she came, did her voice work and bounced. That's kind of like how I saw it anyways. And like after the whole video thing, people just put her under a microscope that in 8 years, this woman has not voiced any other character. It's just Bayonetta. They just put her CV there and just started tackling her. I'm like, ah.
Oh my god!
I think Bayonetta's her like her main voice work. I think she's actually like she does theater. That's like her main work. And Bayonetta was like probably her branching out into voice acting. So for example, I'll give you an example. There's a friend of my wife's she's on the West End, right? She was Tina before, and now she's inside Six, which is like the song about Henry VIII's wives, right? And their different debts and how they and all that kind of stuff. So she's on. She does like, you know, West End plays, and she's just branched out into voice acting. So she's done one voice acting job right now, right? So she's finding it interesting. So yeah, she's just started an industry. You know, she's only doing, you know, one job. She's not expecting to get that much. But maybe if she locked out, you know, she'd end up on a game like Bayonetta or a movie that's like, you know, The Lion King. You know, who knows what it is, right? And your voice is, you know, is distinctive and it makes a mark. And you're like, oh, yeah, I deserve more money next time. But, you know, it's still just, you're still new in the industry. You still just kind of got there. You know, I feel like the Bayonetta actress or voice actress or actor was not really in the voice acting industry like that for video games or anything else. I feel like she was mostly theater, and she just kind of branched in. I feel like maybe if she did connect with the team more, because like I said, her act, like I'm not knocking her performance. Her performance of Bayonetta is good. You gotta say it. It's good. All I'll say is that I feel like maybe she could have just done more to kind of, you know, really break into the industry and deserve what she's talking about.
Can I just add this?
Yeah.
Japanese voice actresses, they are putting in the work. Those people with anime, Genshin like Impact, you just hear them everywhere. Those women are cashing out. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that. And before you guys go, please make sure you talk about Gotham Knights and overselling the game.
Bro, he singled them out specifically.
All right. With that said, we've talked enough about Bayonetta. Yes. All right, Mash. Why don't you talk to us about, you know, what you thought about the last couple weeks of gaming news that's come out, what you're looking forward to, and you know, let's also all have a conversation about Gotham Knights. Let's do that as well.
Okay, see, my turn. To be honest, most of what I've been excited about is pretty much the same stuff Babs has been excited about, especially that Street Fighter 6. I think what's happening with Street Fighter 6 right now is so damn important, and it is so amazing, because you see, Street Fighter 5 was a glorified early access game at launch. Looking back, you can see that. And that game wasn't even halfway to being complete until like arcade edition and stuff like that. But this time around, they've come in. It's not even the combat mechanics, all that kind of stuff. That is really dope. That is really great, and I love that. But what I'm actually most excited about is the casual content in this game. Because you see, when you think about it, going online to get your ass kicked by whoever is out there, like all the tons of people are way better than you, online should be treated as end game content. You understand? Which means that at the end, like before you get there has to be a whole other bunch of stuff that you do before you get there. And that stuff has to be fun. And that's what Street Fighter 6 seems to be doing so well at the moment, because I'm looking at all the crazy modes, I'm looking at World Tour, I'm looking at all the different stuff you can do, and I'm just like, I'm here for it. I'm absolutely here for it. And finally, it feels like at this time next year, they will release a game that's actually AAA and not just coasting off past successes. So that's what I'm excited about. Mm. Same thing as well for Final Fantasy 16. Oh, boy. Boy, that trailer, ambition. Jesus. I have watched it literally no less than 15 times. I've broken it down in every possible way that I can. As a huge fan of the Ivalice series of games in Final Fantasy, I see so much of this DNA. I even remember seeing the very first trailer for it. I assumed it was an Ivalice until it was revealed that the events of this game happened in the world of Alistair. But based on the political tensions between each of the factions, Rosaria, the infiltration and attack from Sanbreak, and all that kind of stuff. I'm here for it, completely here for it. And along those same lines as well, Tactics Ogre Reborn, which is actually the Tactics Ogre series, in a manner of speaking, is actually the genesis of Final Fantasy 16. Because that very same DNA, a lot of people say that, Final Fantasy is going all Game of Thrones now. And, you know, I don't blame people for thinking that way, because obviously Game of Thrones is the most popular and the easiest thing to reference. But this is actually Final Fantasy Tactics DNA. And Final Fantasy Tactics DNA was born from Tactics Ogre. And this is all more or less from Yasumi Matsuno and the Square Enix Business Division 3, being spearheaded by Naoki Yoshida as well. And the guys in charge of writing 16 specifically, they're, I believe, from the Heavensward expansion of Final Fantasy 14. And these are all guys who are from... their pedigree, their lineage, it can be traced. and you can see in their work, and you can see how you approach certain themes. And so that is one of the greatest reasons I'm very much looking forward to this new Final Fantasy. So I'm really here for it. Beyond that, I feel like Bab's already covered like most of the stuff I was really hyped and excited about. At the very least, so far, it's looking like all the Nvidia leak that happened ages ago. I think so far,
it's everything is true. Right? You can just go there and predict what's coming
like,
out.
It's actually like I think they're like 100% accurate to date. Which means
so
that
far, so far it's 100% accurate.
That means I guess Final Fantasy 9.
Exactly.
That would be nice. That game is like now. They say it's a copy of Zelda at this point, Breath of the Wild. Since these people are saying, anyways, their first Final Fantasy was probably 15, so they don't.
You need to understand that Breath of the Wild is responsible for modern video gaming as it is, you know, horses, grass, gliding. It didn't exist without Zelda.
They did exist before.
So Zelda and Elden Ring, two of them, they're the start of everything. So.
Okay.
But it's just like lots of crazy stuff on the horizon. I'm looking for the Final Fantasy IX remake. Definitely what they're doing with. There's something that's really annoyed me. So, Final Fantasy VII Remake, dope. I still haven't finished it. The Rebirth, the sequel to that. Also, kind of looking forward to seeing what they're going to do next. I just thought it was a really funny thing that their live service game, The First Soldier. Bro, you know that it's shutting down. It's not even.
Wait, what's shutting down now?
The one that they advertised at Game Fest.
What's it called? The First Soldier.
Yes.
No. So there's even been multiple flops. First of all. Oh my days! No, The First Soldier is a Final Fantasy VII spin-off. Square Enix wanted to do a battle royale. See, the fact that you have to look this up just. As well shows how badly it's doing, and I don't even think it's been up to a year, and it's been shut down.
I have to go and play then, just to see what the fantasy is about.
And the funny thing is, I suspect it actually would have done better if it came out on consoles, because right now it's only on mobile, and mobile controls are. Mediocre to say the least, and it's not going to be really fun for a battle royale, so that's just one of the things that
Interesting. Actually, no, I'm watching it now. I mean, I play Call of Duty Mobile, so like, you know,
they just advertised the game with all the Final Fantasy Rebirth, Crisis Core, all these things came together, and it was very hard to differentiate. It was kind of like, you people should be done with this mobile game so we can get to the core of the serious game, not this one. So it just felt weird.
It doesn't look like a bad game. Like, I'm watching it. It looks like intense. I mean, yeah, you can summon Ifrit. What? This is mad, dude.
well, they clearly didn't do some right, because that shit is shutting down in like the next few months.
Yeah, I wonder if it's shutting down because they just didn't market it well, or shut down because people hate the game. I mean, they can make it look cool in a video, you got what I'm saying. So, which one is it? Is it that people love the game, but then nobody knew about it, or that people just touched the game and like, oh my gosh, this is shit. Why am I playing this?
I suspect it may have to do with the marketing, because to be honest, Final Fantasy VII is a franchise in and of itself, and there is so much about it going around that it's possible that between Remake, Rebirth, Crisis Core Remaster, Ever Crisis, and I think Ever Crisis, that was another mobile game, if I'm remembering correctly. And that one actually makes me a bit angry because it appears to be pretty much the remake that everybody was asking for Final Fantasy VII, in that they just took the same old chibi graphics and they just really polished it up, but they've made it a mobile game. And obviously, as a mobile game, it's I could already see Aerith and I think Cloud in different cosmetic clothes. And I'm like, okay, they're clearly going to monetize the hell out of this and it's going to be a bit obnoxious, to say the least. So, I don't know. Square Enix, they're doing a couple of good things almost entirely as a result of Naoki Yoshida. And then the rest of it, the CEO is just aggressively trying to siphon money out of every living thing that comes anywhere close to Square, which is just, yeah, I'm just not a fan of that. And then, after all that, at the end of the day, I've prepared myself for God of War as well. As you already know, I've gone through today all the keywords and the potential spoiler words that I mean, I'm just blocking them on all social media. And I'm going to pray to the gods that I don't get spoiled. And, speaking of spoiled, it seems that Gotham Knights should have spent a little longer in Gotham. I don't know what's going on there. Well, it seems to be, honestly, the way it's being received right now, it just seems to be a straight up mid game. And to be honest, I think that's kind of okay. I mean, the threshold, or rather the standards for what makes a good game right now, I mean, they're so damn high. And even when I was seeing the initial trailer for Gotham Knights and all that kind of stuff, I actually knew I was going to get the game. Like, even though I'm actually going to get Gotham Knights when I can, the only difference was, is it going to be day one, or am I going to wait until it's like £35? Based on what I've seen and reviews thus far, I'm going to wait until it's £35. But I'm still going to get Gotham Knights because I love superhero RPG games. They are absolutely my shit. Ever since I first discovered them with X-Men Legends, way back on the PlayStation 2, I've always loved it. So, whatever it is the thing that they're doing, they better get their shit together. So far, it doesn't seem to be doing as badly as Avengers in the eyes of the public. Or could it be because Avengers has already set the bar so low that everybody's just now, like, they're now more tolerant of something because they're bad? I don't know. But, that game could definitely use more work. And I don't know what they're going to do with it, but the fact that they deliberately cancelled development on last-gen platforms and they still cannot hit 60 frames per second with their game, even though it doesn't even look as good as Arkham Knight. And I'm just like, I don't know what you guys are doing. I don't know where your dev time was going. But this was mismanaged.
Gotham Knights
was mismanaged, I can tell you that much.
I suppose it could have been. You know, I think mid is right. I think, you know, you got some people giving it 7 out of 10, some people giving it 6s and 5s. I would say that it's a mid game. I knew it wasn't going to be like, so one thing I don't agree with people saying is like, oh, why didn't they do, you know, like Arkham City or Arkham Knight or all the Batman games from before. And I was like, from the beginning, when I saw this game, I knew that's not the kind of game that it was. And they kind of made it clear that it's not this kind of game. It's not an Arkham game, right? They made that very clear. It's supposed to be viewed from an RPG perspective. So the people are complaining that it's not an Arkham game. It's like, well, that's not what it was never meant to be. I mean, maybe you would have liked it to have been that, but that's just not what they ever had set out to do or claimed to be. Now, for what they did try to do and claim to be, I think for me, some of the issues that we're running in is the fidelity, the graphical fidelity versus the performance. Everyone's already like, okay, why is it that we're getting 30 frames per second on next-gen consoles when what we've seen like they say Arkham Knight runs better on the next gen consoles and plays and looks better than Gotham Knights. Arkham Knights, Gotham Knight, right?
Crazy. Yeah, that's just not great. It's really not great.
Yeah. Yeah. And then even the naming, right? I get it, but you know, some people are getting confused. I guess even that naming will make people think like, oh, we went from Arkham Knight to Gotham Knights. You know, yeah. People probably might some people who don't really follow the news closely might be expecting a sequel. You know, even though it's not from Rocksteady Games and things, right? But
yeah.
You know, I respect you, Bash, when you say like for example, you're like I played Avengers because I liked Avengers, I liked the kind of game it was. Yes, they needed more content in this, but I liked the kind of game it was, and I want that thing to be explored. I just want people to do it even better than they're doing it like right now, right? So I respect that. So you're kind of championing a genre that you want to develop. You want it to develop into something that you know. That you'll love, that can capture, that can grow on the parts that you love, and I think it's a possibility. But you know, I guess these companies just need to figure out, you know, a couple of things, learn from the lessons of others, right? Where in this PS5,
And if I just want to say just to buttress your point, I strongly suspect now that what Gotham Knights was supposed to be. Gotham Knights was probably supposed to be monetized to shit. I believe that's genuinely what it was supposed to be. And then they saw the reception that Avengers got, and then they made a hard pivot. So
I mean, yeah, fair.
It's definitely not true.
Can I just add something to it as well? So I was going to say that, like Bash said, it felt like it was supposed to be a live service game, but they saw what happened to Avengers, and they were like, nope. Because it seems like the whole co-op aspect of it, because a lot of reviewers said that some bosses and some parts of the game looks like it was supposed to be played like in co-op, not single player. And for me, there's this thing that's been going on now in gaming where people release gameplay trailers or gameplay, and I don't know, consumers or gamers can clearly see this thing is bad. Like, you can see the frame rate drops first showing, and there's frame rate drops. This, I'm talking about Starfield, by the way. This is Starfield, Xbox exclusive. And, like, now they come and they're like, oh, there's going to be over 1,000 planets to explore. Yeah, are you going to Ubisoft it? I just put, like, collectibles everywhere for us to just collect in these, like, 1,000 planets. And the combat in Gotham Knights is not as good as like the Arkham games, which is another thing that I was looking at. Like, why are they having issues with tracking in their attacks? Like, why does it seem like you don't know where like the enemy is, and they just kind of like acrobatically like spin and turn? And I'm like, and there's this thing in like fighting games, maybe just for me, but like the impact of your blows, your moves, it doesn't feel very impactful in like Gotham Knights. That's kind of like why I noticed in like their videos. And I'm like, yeah, this game doesn't look good. But people are like, yeah, it's Batman, it's this, it's that. And like, I'm ready to pay £70 for it. I'm not ready to pay £70. Economy is hard. There's going to be recessions. Cannot just be buying games that are not complete. See, you can't just be buying games that are not complete, and they're like, they'll patch it along the way. And I'm like, some people can't even play it. Like, what's the point? Some people are going below 30 FPS. Some people say they can only play it at 24 or something. It's kind of like weird. And like, you expect people to pay money for that. And it's the same thing I've seen with like overselling the game. The same thing is happening with like Forspoken. They showed a lot of spells and combat, but there's frame rate drops. We haven't seen like the towns and anything. All they are showing is just, she can parkour like this. Like, that's not the only thing that's going to carry the game. There needs to be more. So, yeah, people clearly see all these things that are wrong with it. And instead of them just waiting, everybody's like, I'm just going to pre-order. And they're just enabling this bad behavior from devs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I wanted to add.
It's a problem. It's a real problem. I'm looking forward to Forspoken myself. I want to see more of it. I'll wait till next year and see what reviews say.
Yeah, same. I'm looking forward to seeing what Forspoken has to offer. I'm definitely going to wait to see. I'm not pre-ordering anything. In fact, I think the last game I feel like the last game I'm pre-ordering is God of War, and then I'm no longer a pre-order person.
Honestly, it's too risky, man. It's too risky. Games are too expensive.
I think we've shared our thoughts on Gotham Knights. I'm gonna go ahead and talk about what I've been looking forward to. Lots of news has come out this week. Like I said, we even have I'm just shocked, we have the first official PlayStation Pro controller by PlayStation. I think that's the
for
edge.
£2,000.
It's like $200.
It's 40% the cost of a PS5. Are you kidding me?
But to be fair, if you get an Xbox Elite Series controller too, you can get the core to be cheaper, but the core doesn't come with anything. If you get all the accessories like those that are equivalent to what the PS5's one has, they're about the same price. So the Pro controllers have always been expensive, no matter what. That's why I don't own one. I don't own a Pro controller because they cost. Do you guys know say they've always been expensive? But for those who do
money,
buy,
I better be able to control my destiny.
But for those who do buy Pro controllers, I think it's a fair price, or is it within their expectations for a price, and it comes with a bunch of cool features. But I'm just surprised because that's always been Xbox's thing. The controllers Xbox. No one can lie. When it comes to control, if you're not talking about DualSense features and all that crap, if we're talking about just like the sheer customizability of Xbox controllers, the fact the fun, Xbox controllers always be more fun because one, they always felt great, right? Maybe some people don't like the D-pads before, but now they still feel pretty good. You can always customize them, buy them online, change their colors, do different designs. They have all these special edition consoles. Xbox been hitting out the park in that regard. People in PlayStation have been waiting for PlayStation to catch up, and PlayStation is just beginning to slowly catch up. And so I'm just man.
Yeah.
All props to Xbox, man. You put PlayStation in this position where they have to do this shit now. So,
In my head, personally, I believe Xbox won the best controller, war, if there ever was such a thing, when they made that adaptable controller so that I could customize it to disabled people and different. That for me was just so damn cool. I'm just include every kind of person with every kind of disability.
Yeah, but aside from controllers, we've also seen Resident Evil 4 remake. We've seen more of that coming out. We've seen the DLC for Resident Evil. There's a Silent Hill 2 remake coming out, which is what people have been waiting for ages. It's not PT, but it's still Silent Hill. So people are waiting for that for a long time.
Konami come crawling back.
It's like, we've only been saying this for how many years? Oh, you finally got a clue? Yay.
It's because their gacha is no longer making money. That's true.
That's a comeback stronger. we got a bit too complacent here. What are we going to do now? I think Modern Warfare is about to launch as well, right? So that's coming out. I think if you pre-order now, you can play the campaign before the game comes out, meaning they look at most of the game as being multiplayer plus Warzone. that's the game. But yeah, this campaign that these guys love to put together, Infinity Ward, whatever. Yeah, they did that for you guys. We'll give that to you now because it's ready. But don't worry, the main attraction where you can pay, you can pay all this money to get your accessories and different things, it's coming soon, guys. We're gonna get that to you real soon. But this campaign thing, here it is. Let that whet your appetite.
To be honest, it's not the worst strategy I've ever heard.
I've been playing mostly Overwatch and Destiny 2. I've been putting quite a few hours in Destiny 2. Mostly because I traveled, that's really the only thing I could play. I should be getting back into finishing Yakuza Like a Dragon because I really put some serious hours into that game, and I'm pretty much towards the end. But I'm just trying to, it's an RPG, so it's more than just reaching the end for me. There's so many side missions and stuff I want to complete, and so many collectibles I want to get, and so much stronger I want to become. So, I'm grinding in that game. And what else? At the end of the day, PSVR 2, we saw that small reveal. I traveled recently, and I went where I visited a VR kind of like center, and it was pretty cool. I think I will send you the link, Bash, so you can check it out. But it was pretty cool.
I've still yet to experience VR for myself, and I need to sort this out. Actually,
yeah, it was dope, man. And you know, when you go to these centers, then they put the headsets on you, but they give you like guns and like accessories you can use, and they put vests, and there's trackers on your arms and on your legs, and you've got like a vest that like it that does haptic feedback, so if you get shot you feel like you're getting shot, right? And it's also in your helmet. Whoa. So it's pretty intense, man. And I did a Star Trek adventure, and it was exciting. So wow. I was just like, okay, this PSVR 2, this one where they get proper controller and haptic feedback at things. This thing, make I see how the thing they turn out. Maybe I don't go buy them right away, but maybe year 2, year 3, if it's, you know, pick one up and see what's happening. Like it's actually pretty wild. So looking, I mean, all those kind of things are interesting to me. Like I said, it's an exciting time to be a gamer. There's a lot of stuff available for everybody. No, it's been cool, and we hope to bring you more podcasts from us and the rest of the crew at Joysticks. And this is Amatera, so aka Kunle, signing off.
And this is Kunavine signing off.
This is Bab signing off.
All right, so y'all have a good one, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Don't be the creepy one who's stalking us, okay? We don't like that.
What is this ASMR thing? Like, stop this. close your windows. Open your mic.
Thanks for listening to our podcast, guys. Don't forget to subscribe. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at JoysticksNG. That's JoysticksNG. We also make awesome YouTube videos. You can check out our channel, Joysticks Entertainment. We have tons of content up and more coming every single week. Check out our Xbox Series X versus PS5 UI comparison. Subscribe there too so you don't miss any of the exciting stuff we've got coming your way. And see you in the next one.